you are privileged to make it over there, that there is no doubt that you indeed will be happy over there. You'll have no sadness over there. There'll be no sourpusses over there. There'll be no depression, no disease, no defeat over there. Everybody will be happy over there. Appreciate Brother Gervais for leading us in our singing this morning. We appreciate you for singing along with him. We are grateful to our God who has allowed us the privilege of coming together this morning that we might worship him as he directs us in his word. I immediately call your attention to the passage of scripture read by Brother Eric this morning, 1 Kings chapter 20, verses 1 through 8. We want to look at some positive lessons from a negative model, some positive lessons from a negative model. Some of you remember, wasn't too many years ago, that Stevie Wonder popularized the song that I'm sure still echoes in some of your ears and minds. Y'all remember the song, Signed? I knew it would resonate. I knew it would resonate. Yes, sir. Signed, sealed, delivered. I'm yours. Now, contrary to popular beliefs, and in defiance of any request you might make for me to sing that this morning, I decline. But I do want you to think about that song. Signed, sealed, and delivered. Now, I'll read the lyrics, or some of the lyrics to the song. Stevie said, like a fool, I went and stayed too long. Now I'm wondering if your love's still strong. Ooh, baby, here I am. Signed, sealed, and delivered, I'm yours. Then the time I went and said goodbye, now I'm back and not ashamed to cry. Ooh, baby, here I am. Signed, sealed, delivered, I'm yours. Here I am, baby. Oh, you've got the future in your hand. Signed, sealed, delivered, I'm yours. Here I am, baby. Oh, you've got the future in your hand. Signed, sealed, delivered, I'm yours. I've done a lot of foolish things that I really didn't mean. Hey, hey, yeah, yeah. Didn't I, oh baby, seen a lot of things in this old world. When I touched them, they did nothing, girl. Ooh, baby, here I am. Signed, sealed, delivered, I'm yours. Now, Stevie was affirming his commitment to his sweetheart. And I might add that his commitment was a questionable commitment. His commitment was not the kind of commitment that we need to make to our sweethearts, and definitely it's not the kind of commitment that we need to make to our God. His commitment more issued from the realm of feelings, from the feel, from the emotions, rather than from the will. A real commitment originates in and has roots in the will. We should be able to say and mean it to God, our Heavenly Father, here I am, signed, sealed, delivered, I'm yours. You have me lock, stock, and barrel. I'm offering myself to you whole hog. Nothing held back. Y'all have heard of the pig and hen who were taking a leisurely stroll on the outskirts of town. And they were walking along casually. And they approached an orphan's home. Little children were running around on the playground. And the old hen's heart was touched. And she looked at Brother Pig and she said, "You know, Brother Pig, we ought to do something for these wonderful children." Brother Pig looked at Sister Hen. He said, "I agree." He said, "Sister, what did you have in mind?" She said, "Well, I was thinking that maybe we could provide them with a ham and egg breakfast." The old pig looked down rather thoughtfully, and he looked up at Sister Hen. He said, "Well, sister, that's easy for you to say, because you'll just be making a small contribution, but I would be making a total sacrifice." Brother Pig wasn't willing to say to that orphan's home, "Here I am, signed, sealed, and delivered, I'm yours." Or maybe he could have said, "Here's my ham, I'm signed, sealed, and delivered, I'm yours." You know, we find that to be rather humorous. I think y'all find it to be humorous. But really, that's what the Lord requires. And he wants us whole hog or none. The Bible actually teaches that level of commitment, and we see it and we read about it all of the time in sacred scripture. Romans 12, you're familiar with the passage, verses 1 through 3. And there are a number of pertinent and practical penetrating points that we can draw from this passage. Romans 12, 1 through 3. "I beseech you, I beg you, I implore you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." He wants us as a sacrifice. He wants us as living sacrifices. He wants us to offer our bodies in His service. That's something that is acceptable in His sight. But not only does He make that clear, He further says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. If you are to make the signed, sealed, delivered commitment to the Lord, you can't be lifted up in haughtiness or pride. You can't have a selfish spirit. You must exemplify a spirit of humility and self-abnegation. You know, Saul started out that way, and he was commended when he was being singled out as the new king. When it came time for him to be presented to the people, in his humility and embarrassment, he hid himself among the stuff. And they had to ask the Lord, where is he? He said, he's hiding among the stuff or the equipment. And they fetched him from thence and presented him to the people. He had a wonderful attitude initially. When we go to our lesson text, I stated earlier that we'll be learning some positive lessons from a negative model. What I want to emphasize and impress upon your minds in this lesson is that basically, when it comes to our relationship with God, we need to have the exact same kind of attitude exemplified by King Ahab in this particular context. You know, this was a negative model. One king demanding total allegiance to another king. And when I say demanded, he was going to force him. Now, God's not going to force you. He's not going to force me. If you're to serve him, if you're to live for him, it has to be voluntary. He's not going to twist your arm. He's not going to make you. You remember that little boy riding with his dad in the pickup truck on the front seat, little boy standing up. Stubborn little rascal. The man told his son, said, boy, sit down. I don't want to sit down. He said, son, sit down. He said, I told you, I don't want to sit down. I like standing up. He said, look, son, sit down. Little boy still stood up in defiance. Finally, his dad pulled over to the side of the road, grabbed the little boy, and forcefully set him down. See, he said, you stay there. And as he drove off, that little fella looked up at him, and he told his dad, I'm still standing up inside. That attitude, that spirit, won't cut it with the Lord. I invite you to consider quickly, briefly, the coalition. Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered all his hosts together. And there were 32 kings with him in his confederation. Horses, chariots. He went up and besieged, that is, he surrounded the capital of Israel, Samaria, and he warred against it. And then he dispatched a critical communication. Verse number 2, he sent messengers to Ahab, king of Israel, into the city and said unto him, "Thus saith Ben-Hadad." And I want you to notice the words very carefully inscribed in verse number 3. And I want you to consider the coercive confiscation. When you confiscate something, you take it by power. You take it by force. Notice what he told this man. Now, this is a man who is a king also. But this is what Ben-Hadad said to him. He said, "Thy silver and thy gold is mine." What do you mean, my silver and my gold is yours? I mean exactly what I said. I'm going to take it. It belongs to me. You're going to surrender it to me. But that's not all he said. Not only the silver and gold, he said, "Thy wives also, and thy children, even the goodliest, they are mine." That's hard for us to swallow. He's going to take this man's wealth, take this man's wives, take this man's children. Forcibly take them. Now, with reference to us, God says to us, "All you have is mine." And we should be willing to turn over to God whatever we have. Turn over your stocks and your bonds to the Lord. Turn over your savings accounts and your banking accounts to the Lord. All of this, Lord, is yours. Signed, sealed, delivered is yours. The Lord wants your wife. And you already signed her over to him? Haven't you already entrusted her into God's care? Haven't you already consecrated her to God? Haven't you already dedicated her to God? Those children. He wants them. You remember Hannah, she prayed through her barrenness that God would grant her a son. And she said, "If you bless me, Lord, with a son, I'll give him back to you. He's yours to be used in your service for all of his life." We need to do the same thing with our children. And we start out when they are real young, when they are little things, dedicating them to the Lord. Signed, sealed, delivered, they are yours, Lord. You just allow me the privilege to parent them and to inculcate in their young hearts, your eternal truths. As the psalmist explains, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And we should hide the word in the hearts of our children, in the hearts of our wives, after we prerequisitely have hidden the word in our own hearts. Deuteronomy chapter 6. You know, we often refer to that particular passage. Brother William, will you get that for me, sir? Deuteronomy chapter 6, with reference to our children. Now, the Bible tells us children are an heritage from the Lord. You remember Sister Eve, when Seth was born, I believe, she said, I have gotten me a man from the Lord. Do you know your children came from the Lord? So it's no big deal if he requires you to give them back to him. It shouldn't be a big deal. He gave them to you first. Have the spirit of Hannah. Give them back to him. Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting with verse number 1 and following, Brother William.
Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you.
Okay. This is the commandments. These are the statutes and judgments the Lord your God have commanded to teach you. Keep going, sir.
That you may observe them in the land.
That you may observe them in the land.
Which you are crossing over.
Which you're crossing over to possess. They are headed west when they cross over the Jordan. Go ahead, Brother William.
That you may fear the Lord your God.
That you may fear the Lord your God. That's a prerequisite. Keep going, sir.
To keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you.
To keep all his statutes and commandments, which I command you.
You and your son and your grandson.
You, your sons, your grandsons, all the days of your life.
And what your days may be prolonged, that your days may be prolonged.
That your days may be prolonged.
Therefore, hear, O Israel.
Therefore, hear, O Israel.
And be careful to observe it.
Be careful to observe it.
That it may be well with you.
That it might be well with you. That you may multiply
greatly
of the Lord God.
Of your fathers has promised you.
Of your father has promised you.
A land flowing with milk and honey.
A land flowing with milk and honey.
Hear, O Israel.
Hear, O Israel.
The Lord our God.
The Lord our God.
The Lord is one.
The Lord is one. Keep going.
You shall love the Lord your God.
You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart,
with all your soul,
and with all your strength.
And these words,
and
which I command you today,
these words which I command you today,
shall be in your heart.
They shall be in your heart.
You shall teach them diligently.
There we go. They shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently.
To your children.
To your children. Now, if the word is not in your heart, how can you teach it to your children? How can you instill it into the hearts and minds of your children? You can't do it. You can no more teach what you don't know than you can come back from somewhere you didn't go. It just doesn't work. Keep going, sir.
And shall talk of them when you sit in your houses.
You shall talk of them when you sit in your houses.
When you walk by the way.
When you walk by the way.
When you lie down.
When you lie down.
And when you rise up.
When you rise up. You shall bind them
as a sign on your hand.
They shall be as frontlets between your eyes.
You shall write them on the doorpost of your houses.
You shall write them on the doorpost of your houses.
And on your gates.
On your gates. Thank you, sir. That's far enough. But we need to take the Word of God seriously enough as we teach it to our children that every day, every opportunity, we should be willing to share what the Word of God says. You know, when you get up, when you lie down, you know, rather than watching the evening news and being glued to your favorite programs, share the Word of God. When you're walking by the way, or when you're driving them to school, or when you're driving them to the store, share the Word of God. But it has to be in your heart first. And then you put it in their hearts. And in the process of doing this, you are giving them to God as his own. Thank you, Brother Prowl. So, Ben-Hadad, your silver, your gold, your wives, your children, even the best, the goodliest, the high quality, all of that belongs to me. So we see the cowardly compliance of the king. Verse 4, and the king of Israel answered and said, my lord, O king, according to thy saying, I am thine, and all that I have. Yah goes out to poor old Ahab. But the same kind of spirit that he demonstrated toward King Ben-Hadad, that's the kind of spirit we need to demonstrate as we commit our lives to him. I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. Can you say that you belong to the Lord? That you are his lock, stock, and barrel? Ahab complied. He said, according to your saying. We should be able to say, according to your word, God, I'm yours. All I have belongs to you. Verse number 5. The messengers came again and said, thus speaketh Ben-Hadad, saying, although I have sinned unto thee, saying, thou shalt deliver me thy silver and thy gold and thy wives and thy children, he compounds his demand. He said, yet I will send my servants unto thee. And tomorrow about this time, they shall search thine house and the houses of thy servants. And it shall be that whatsoever is pleasant in thine eyes, whatever you have that you really like, whatever you have that you delight in, whatever you have that you relish, they shall put it in their hand and take it away. Isn't that something? He was not satisfied. He wanted more. He said, I'm going to send my servants to your house. They're going to search your house. If you have any jewelry, they're going to get it. If you have grandmama's keepsake that you really love, they're going to take it away. You have a 60-inch LED television, flat screen, Sony, Samsung, Vizio, Panasonic, Magnavox, whatever it is, if you like it, it's mine. We're going to take it away. Nice Lexus, that's ours. Wardrobe, nice suits. Mine. Those Stacy Adams, mine. Everything you have that is of value, I want it. And we're going to take it. Now, this kind of galled Ahab. He was saying, wait a minute. Wait, you're asking too much. Now, I tried to go along with your program, but you're asking too much now. You know, sometimes people feel that way with God. No, you're asking for too much. Lord, so I want everything. I want all that you have. It's mine. I want your talents. They are mine. I want all of your vehicles. They are mine. Everything you own is mine. Isn't that wonderful? Not when you're pledging that to a man, but when you're pledging it to the God of glory. It's wonderful. Everything you have, entrusted into his care. But the king formulates in his mind a cautious complaint. He says, I'm not going to take this sitting down, in essence. Then the king of Israel called all the elders of the land and said, mark, I pray you, and see how this man seeketh mischief. For he sent unto me for my wives and for my children and for my silver and for my gold, and I denied him not. You know, a lot of times we deny God things. We deny him our time. Well, I only have so much time, and I have to work all week, so the weekend is mine. Yeah, don't expect me to come to Bible class. Don't expect me to come to worship. Don't expect me to come back Sunday evening. This is mine. I don't have much time off. So, you know, don't be asking for too much. Well, what about giving faithfully and liberally to the Lord? Well, now, I'll put in a little something in the plate, but you're talking about 10% or more than 10%. You know, that's a little too much. But Ahab told the elders, I denied him not. Have you been denying God? You've been telling the Lord, well, Lord, I appreciate you and all, but you're asking too much of me. And we lodge a complaint against the Lord. So he made a cautious complaint. He said, I consented. I tried to go along with him. And I didn't deny him at first. But now when he sent and wanted more, you know, that was too much. And the elders gave some wise counsel. All the elders and all the people said unto him, hearken not unto him, nor consent. You know, there are folks who will tell you, no, man, don't you listen to that preacher. Don't you listen to what they claim the Bible says. You got common sense. The Lord gave you common sense, and you got your bills to pay, and you got other stuff to do other than being involved in church stuff all the time and going to classes and worship. That's asking too much. Don't consent to that. You know, there are folks, relatives and so-called friends who tell you, child, do you know what you could be doing with that money you giving to them folks? Deny the Lord not. He doesn't deny you. We need to have the kind of attitude toward God that Ahab had toward Ben-Hadad. And I want to close out with final scripture, sewing up the lesson. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20. And the lesson will be yours. Notice, and this puts a different construction on the matter, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Signed, sealed, delivered, I'm yours. Body and spirit. We belong to the Lord. And it's not something to be taken lightly. We belong to Him already by virtue of Him purchasing us. He gave His life for you and for me. He bought us with His blood. Peter says, for as much as you know, you were not redeemed by corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. 1 Peter 1:18-19. You have been bought with a price, with the precious blood of Jesus. And now it's time for us to completely surrender ourselves to Him and not hold back. We sing the song, I Surrender All. All to Jesus, I surrender. All to Him, I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. Humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus. Take me now. All to Jesus I surrender. Make me, Savior, wholly Thine. Let me know the joy of living, truly know that Thou art mine. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessings fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Will you surrender? Will you surrender all today? Will you commit yourself to living for the Lord today? Will you recommit yourself to the Lord through repentance, confession, and prayer? Can you sing, I surrender all? You've been holding back. You've been holding back some your time. You've been holding back your talent. Some have been holding back your treasure. Will you surrender it to the Lord today?